D. Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. And we just received an email that Bet365 is extending that partnership with our show. So thank you, Bet365. We're happy to have you.
We love you.
So the timing could not be better, Derek Mason. So during the break, the embargo was lifted on Titans OTAs. Because as many of you know, there are a certain number of open practices and reporters can watch practice. Mm-hmm. But they can't report on certain aspects of practice. And they cannot report on practice while practice is going on. So usually what you see as soon as practice is over is this flood of videos and tweets after practice of all the people out there. It happens just all at once. The dam breaks. So Teron Davenport, our good buddy, he has his OTA notes out for today. No Jeffrey Simmons, no Tyler Lockett, no Kevin Zeitler, no Amani Hooker, among other things. And this is one thing that I have always found fascinating about football practice and reporting on football practice, Derek. So As many of you know, the only professional sport that I have reported on is hockey. It's what I did before I moved to Nashville. It's what I did when I moved to Nashville. So I've never reported on the NFL. I've chipped in reporting on the NFL when I was at the Tennessean during the offseason. I would help the Titans beat reporters, Jim Wyatt or Jason Wolf or Eric Bacharach. I would help them out at Titans practice, but I would just write the sidebars. Now, I've told this story before that I was sort of the kiss of death for Titans players who were on the bubble in training camp. If I wrote about you, you were probably getting cut. I remember the first story I wrote was about Bishop Sankey. Remember Bishop Sankey, yes. Everybody? Gone. Yes. I wrote about Justin Hunter. Gone. I wrote about Doriel Green Beckham. Traded. Like I had
nothing to do with you. They couldn't play, man.
I know.
No, it's all Adam's fault.
Exactly. I was the harbinger of death.
They were not good enough.
If a Titans player saw me walking toward them, they might as well pack their bags and look for new work.
This guy's asking me a question?
Yes. Oh. It's not. That's just the way it worked out. But nevertheless, there's one aspect of football reporting that I've always found to be so humorous. Again, so when you cover hockey practice, first of all, you can watch the whole practice. There's no embargo about, well, you can only watch them stretch and then you have to leave. You can watch the entire practice. You can tweet about anything you see at practice. But most of the time, what hockey fans, what Predators fans wanted to know about from me was, okay, what are the line combinations? Is anybody injured? What are the power play units look like? Mm-hmm. Those sorts of things. But then you turn on the football practice. You open Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called these days, and you look at social media, and it's, so-and-so did this and made this great pass to this guy and this guy. I've always found it to be very funny. So I have found a kindred spirit in Browns coach Kevin Stefanski. So Kevin Stefanski, the Browns were holding, I think, their annual summer golf tournament. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of the attention in Browns camp is on the quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett. And he had this quote, I know in our day and age, one clip or one day or one practice can be all that gets out there to the public. And this is the joke that I've made about the Titans are going to send out this slickly produced video of Cam Ward throwing the perfect ball with the perfect spiral in slow motion to Xavier Restrepo, and people are going to freak the hell out. And this is the question I have for you, Derek. Mm-hmm. Now that it's OTAs, how much can we truly glean from OTAs? And I'm not picking on Jim Wyatt here. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jim Wyatt. He has done an excellent job reporting on the Titans for forever, basically. I'm looking at his observations from last week's OTA open practice. And this is what Jim Wyatt wrote. Quote, Cam Ward came out slinging it, going 8 of 10 in his first 7-on-7 period. Ward's first completion was a strike across the middle to Gunnar Helm, and he also connected with Van Jefferson on a pair of completions early. Ward was wide on the sideline throw to Calvin Ridley, and the other incompletion in 7-on-7 was high and off the hands of James Prochet. In the team period, three of Ward's passes were broken up, and he ended the period 1 of 4 with a sidearm completion to receiver TJ Sheffield at the end. Ward was 2 of 3 in the final team period, which ended with a strike to rookie receiver Chimere Dike. Ward looked poised on Wednesday, stepping up in the pocket several times while under pressure. Sure, he was off the mark on a few throws, and there was a botched exchange with Corey Levin, but overall, Ward had a solid day. I had Ward 3 of 7 in the two team periods, making him 11 of 17 on the day. And I'm just like, oh boy. Like, this is just a completely different world. And here's the question. Well, this is more of a statement. And then I want to see if I'm completely off my rocker here, talking to the ex-professional football player. I feel like a critical aspect of quarterback evaluation that goes unnoticed is the significant difference between looking good in controlled passing drills, like 7-on-7s, right, versus performing under pressure with defensive linemen bearing down on you, like in joint practices. So, to me, quite frankly, I don't feel like I can judge any of this stuff based on what Cam Ward does in 7-on-7s. Am I completely nuts?
No. I know Jim is just trying to give a written visual of what's actually going on.
Right,
in
because
practice.
People eat this
exactly.
stuff
people
up.
People eat it up and they want to read it in. And, you know, they want to make sure, you know, their quarterback is doing well. So they want the – when they mean they want the play-by-play, Jim knows they want the play-by-play. So when Cam Ward's out there, we want the play-by-play of Cam Ward. We don't want the play-by-play of Brandon Allen, Will Levis, or anybody else at the quarterback position. But we do want a play-by-play from Cam Ward. So I understand why, you know, Jim – you know, goes about it that way. And he has been, I'm sure, for years. So that it is what it is. But OTAs for me, this is how I looked at it. Because you don't, listen, you're not going to, you don't know during OTAs whether you're going to be, you know, a 17-0 team, that's what you wish, or you're going to be a team that, you know, may not make the playoffs. Nobody knows at the beginning of the season, unless you have just a bunch of injuries and stuff, you're coming, it's, everybody goes in thinking we're going to be good enough to make the playoffs. OTAs is development. I want to see, one, I want to see if you come in shape. Because OTAs, to me, isn't about getting in shape. You need to be already in shape when you get here. So I don't need to get you in shape during these OTA days. You need to have a base and everything else, and I'm sure a lot of these guys do. So that's one of you know, the things that I took out of OTAs when I was playing. I want to make sure that I go in and I'm in shape and ready to go, and the other players make sure they – I knew the guys that wasn't working out or half-assing it, because when they came in OTAs, you saw it. It was evident, you know. Even without pads, it was evident. So are you coming in shape? Can you keep up with what's going on, especially to the rookies? And then how are you developing, you know, as a player, as a quarterback, but as mainly as a team and as a player? It's not about getting you to the championship today. Today is not about getting you to the championship. Today is setting the roadmap of getting to the championship. So we know when we get in the season, that road is set now. Now we know which direction we need to head. This is about building that road. So, you know, if Cam goes 11 for 17, but then comes back and goes, you know, 12 for 17, or he see things a little bit different and it's better. It may not have been a completion, but he read it correctly. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see as a coach. So to me, that's what OTAs is about.
Right. So from me, from more of a novice standpoint, again, I did not.
Amongst other things.
Right. I did not report on football. So when I go out to Titans training camp, I often have to stand next to someone like Derek Mason, who can tell me what I'm looking at to make sure that I'm understanding exactly what's happening on the field in a certain drill. But I see in Jim's report from last week, Cam Ward goes 8 for 10, and I guess we'll see what he went for today. I haven't seen that reported yet. I'm like, shouldn't he go 8 for 10? Shouldn't he probably go 9 of 10 or 10 of 10? It's 7 on 7. Like,
yeah.
Like, I do think that we are so starved for football, and the NFL has done a fabulous job of making us care about football every single day of the year. Mm-hmm. There is rarely a time from January 1st through December 31st that we do not care about football. And the NFL has done a great job of sort of spacing all of these things out, right? Of course, mm-hmm. you have the season. And then when the season is over, you have draft. Mm-hmm. And then you have the combine. Then you have the draft. Mm-hmm. Or you have free agency in there somewhere too. Then you have rookie minicamp and OTAs and mandatory minicamp and then training camp mm-hmm. and then the preseason. And then we start all over again. So the NFL has done a fabulous job. But I understand this idea of, and I know Willie likes to joke about this with us, that people see those videos of Cam Ward slinging it in practice. Like, I just saw a video on my timeline mm-hmm. of Travis Hunter at Jaguars yes. OTAs with a pass breakup mm-hmm. on a drill playing cornerback. And people are like, oh my God, did you see that? Bro's a unicorn. Like, guys, I don't have the full context of mm-hmm. the clip. That's great. But people are going to freak out about it.
But they know they are. That's why they put it out there and they put it in slow motion and everything goes. But again, to me, OTAs was about building. Again, it's not necessary. Would you love to go 11 for 11 in all the drills that you run in regards to passing? Yes. But you know that's not going to happen. What you want to see is, okay, if the quarterback and receiver missed on this, you know, on this particular play today, all right, we're going to run it again later on today, or we're going to run it again tomorrow. Now I want to know if y'all can connect now. And what you connect the next day. Now we're building. Or if, you know, Cam Ward and Gunnar Helm, let's just say Gunnar Helm, they don't, you know, Cam sees it, but he throws it slightly behind him the first go around. All right. Or Cam doesn't see him and he goes somewhere else. What I want to do is tomorrow, I want to make sure you see that. So how are you developing? I'm going to call a play, but I may call it different, but I'm going to make sure that you know to see that guy to next time. Check him out very quickly. If he's there, throw the ball. If not, then get to the other guy. If he comes back and he sees it, whether he completes it or not, if he sees it and throws it, maybe the receiver drops it. But he read it right. That's developing. Now we're developing because you're seeing the field. You're seeing all of the field as a quarterback, not just half of the field. So that's what this is all about. It's developing your team, developing your quarterback, building a roadmap so when the season starts, you know where you're headed.
And remember, we were playing that clip yesterday from Mike Florio talking about how he thinks the fact that the Titans still have Will Levis on the roster may be a sign that the Titans are still a dysfunctional franchise. But we played another clip from his show where he was like, we saw some B-roll of Cam Ward throwing it, and it was Mahomesian. And I'm just like, you got that from watching a 10-second clip on social media?
Yes, because the way he threw the ball, and they slowed it down sidearm, and then they put it, you know, right next to Patrick Mahomes.
Did you see that spiral? Yes.
I'm just, I get it, and we are starving for football content, especially around here, and I get it. It's just these grand proclamations that can be made by people based on something they've barely seen. So my question for you, Derek, mm-hmm. to wrap this up is, when the OTAs are over, when mini camp is over, how should we consider – what should we consider a successful OTA/mini camp season for Cam Ward? Like, what must we hear or see before training camp to make us feel like, yeah, Cam Ward's?
One, I need to see he doesn't get injured in no way. No way possible. Not a hamstring, nothing. We just need to get him out of OTAs and minicamp healthy first. And then I want to see, you know, because the more and more he's in front of the camera, the more and more he's out there on the field, you hope he grows as a leader. And it seems like from what we are gathering, that is the case. You know, guys are saying he's being a leader. He's showing up for guys. He's impressing guys. They've already said it, and you're talking about veteran guys too, not just the rookie guys who was in there before the veterans got there. Now you hear veteran guys you talk about his maturity and some of the leadership qualities that he has. So if Cam can continue to do that, because it's going to be, just think of it like this. Mr. Elastic? Is that who he is? On the Fantastic Four. Is it Mr. Elastic?
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic, not Mr. Elastic. Well, he is Elastic.
I think you're confusing him with Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, it is. Is it Stretch Armstrong?
No, that was a toy in the 90s.
But Fantastic Four, the guy that's on Fantastic Four, the one that stretches really long. I forgot his name.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, Mr. Fantastic.
This may surprise you.
Mr. Fantastic. Because I never really understood that Slow Mason, duh. He named the Fantastic Four after himself.
Yeah, basically. Mr. Fantastic and the Fantastic Four,
Sound like an R&B group. I'm sorry, people. What you was about to say, Adam, because I'm going to finish
First of all, it doesn't sound more like an R&B group than Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat.
You're right.
That is an R&B
group. That's an R&B
group.
That's an 80s R&B group.
I think I saw Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat open for Blackstreet in 1996.
I think that's my mom's favorite band right there.
Okay, sorry. Please go ahead, Derek.
No, but just like Mr. Fantastic, he stretches his arm inch by inch by inch. And that's what you want, Cam Ward, as you're going through these OTAs, as you're going through these mini camps into training camp. You want him to continue to stretch his leadership around this program, around this team, because the further and the more he gets it stretched around this team, I think the better they will become. The more and more he continues to show that leadership, the more and more team, guys on that team continues to buy into him. Guys like what they see now. But veteran guys understand there's a difference between OTAs, mini camp, and training camp. There's a distinct difference. I've seen guys in OTAs and mini camp, man, they are ballers, straight ballers, catching everything, running with the elusiveness of Barry Sanders. They are backpedaling like Deion Sanders. They are just great. But the closer we get to the camp, the regular camp, and once they get in the camp, you see, that helmet and them shoulder pads on. Nah, it's a different story. It's a different ball game now. Now you're not flourishing as much. So, listen, I want Cam Ward to be able to continue to stretch his leadership in that locker room. And once he gets to a point where he has, succumbed everyone or sort of got everyone in his reach, I think that's when they then will take that next step. His leadership, the way he leads this team, is going to be critical and monumental to their success moving forward.
615-737-1025. If you have any gigs for Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat, please let us know.
Hey, I'm the road manager, so let me know. Call in. Let me know.
Oh, man.
playing down.
You know when you're driving down the highway and there's an ad for a casino that's within driving distance and there's always a musical act? You're like, huh, I didn't realize they were still performing. That's what Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat would be doing right now.
They're still around?
Yes, exactly. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, speaking of Cam Ward, I do want to touch on something I heard yesterday on these airwaves as it relates to Cam Ward, and I do want Derek's opinion on it as well. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
And then, again, that word confidence. They keep using it when it comes to Cam Ward. And I'm trying to figure out, again, being intellectually honest here, how can Cam Ward have confidence when he has never done what is going to be asked of him to do in the NFL? So Cam is so confident. Is he confident or is he optimistic? And yet I keep hearing it over and over again. Confident, confident, confident. He's so confident. He's never taken an NFL snap. Oh, yeah. How can he be confident?
Okay, first of all, there's just something about the juxtaposition of Jared Stillman's voice followed by Keith Sweat. I don't like it. Let's not do that again. I love this song.
Now you're going to think of his voice. Oh,
this song has officially been ruined. I love the I love the sexual healing remix of Twisted by Keith Sweat. Oh, man.
Now he has ruined it for you.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. That type of song mixed with Jared's voice, not a good combination. No. Mm-hmm. But I did hear this yesterday, and we'll talk to Jared in the next segment. And that's why I waited until now to talk about it, because it will lead directly into our conversation with Jared before Stillman and Company at 2 o'clock. So his theory that Cam Ward cannot be confident in his ability to succeed at the NFL level, if I'm hearing this right, because he has yet to take a meaningful snap at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. Now, Jared says that there is a difference between confidence and optimism. Personally, I think he's parsing words. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of the argument, and I've done a lot of Google searching over the past 5 minutes, confidence versus optimism. Confidence versus, you know, the difference between confidence and optimism. And I landed on this website. I mean, there are some strange websites that deal with this stuff. But this website talks about confidence. Confidence is always about you and what you have direct control over, right? So Jared's theory, again, if I'm hearing that right, is that Cam Ward can't be confident in his ability to succeed in the NFL because he has yet to do it. Now, these are some open-ended questions that I will ask Jared in the next segment, and they won't be open-ended at that point, I guess. Mm-hmm. One, do you not want your young starting quarterback to be confident? Mm-hmm. I understand Jared's point, sort of. But one, do you not want your rookie starting quarterback to be confident? Two, is the Titans' handling of Cam Ward in terms of how they speak about him unique in the NFL? Are all of the other teams with young starting quarterbacks being more measured with how they talk about that quarterback? Or is it just because we are so hyper-focused on the Titans, it seems that only the Titans can do wrong in this situation? And I don't pretend to know what other coaches are saying about other young quarterbacks. So I don't know if this is unique. Mm-hmm. And if it is, I would like to know how other teams handle these situations. So let's start with the first question, Derek. Can Cam Ward be confident knowing that he has yet to play a meaningful game or take a meaningful snap in the NFL?
Isn't that, I mean, confidence is, to me, it's knowing, it just said it, knowing within you what you can do. And you've proven it at every level. So why then should it stop at the NFL? I proved once I picked up the football and played organized football in the 11th grade, I had confidence that I can go out there and play this game and play it at a high level. Why? Because of just having older brothers. And I had never played organized football, but having older brothers going through that whole thing and just being a competitor. I had confidence, and I went in confidence. And you know what? It was confirmed. Getting into the season in high school and catching that first touchdown, my first pass play was a touchdown. That was confirmation. That was confirmation for me. I was confident, but catching that pass was confirmation that, yeah, I got this. I was confident that I can go to Michigan State and play at a high level. It confirmed it once I got on the field and started playing. I walked into the Tennessee Oilers facility. Now, I think they had changed their name at that point, even then, or had, I don't think, maybe they didn't. But I walked, let's just say I walked into Houston, into that locker room confident that I can go out there and I can play in this league. And it was confirmed, okay? When I became a starter, it was confirmed. I was confident. I was like, I should have been out here a long time ago. But it was confirmed once I got in there. So I say all that to say this, Jared. Yeah, you can have confidence you can't have confidence coming into this league. But what happens is either you get confirmed or you figure, man, it's going to be a long road. I need to readjust some things. But eventually, you know, the good players, they get it. It happens. And that's just a confirmation of what they believe. Our parents has always told us, believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it. Have confidence that you can do it. Don't be optimistic. Optimistic, seriously? No, be confident that you can do it. And let it be confirmed then. That's just a confirmation. So, Jared, he can be confident in this situation. His play will confirm it. That's all it will do.
And we know the backstory of Cam Ward. We've talked about it for months, since the moment the Titans had the number one overall pick. And it was clear that it was going to be Cam Ward. We've done the backstory. Zero-star recruit out of high school. From Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami to out of nowhere, really, number one overall pick in the NFL. So Cam Ward has shown, to get to this point, that he clearly has confidence.
Yes.
And he wouldn't have been able to get to this point without confidence. And Jared, again, is talking about the difference between confidence and optimism, which is, I know I can do it versus I think I can do it. And again, to me, I would want my young starting quarterback to have confidence. And as one texter said, I think Jared's frustration comes from the sunshine pumping of last year, followed by being the worst team in the NFL. And he sees the same trends. And he mentioned what happened with Will Levis last year. We heard a lot of the same things about Will Levis. Again, I have to imagine that Will Levis is not the only young quarterback whose tires were pumped and then he stunk and then the team moved on. I have to imagine that this is, again, a problem that is not, or I wouldn't call it a problem. You know, this is not a situation that is unique to the Titans. We were talking about this yesterday with Mike, with the Mike Florio clip. And he used the example of, when was the last time two young quarterbacks were on the same team? He mentioned Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. I have to imagine that if you went back to the summer of 2018, would Cliff Kingsbury would have been the coach of the Cardinals at that time? I'm sure Cliff Kingsbury was saying all of the same things that Brian Callahan said about Will Levis and all of the same things that Brian Callahan is saying about Cam Ward. Now, it didn't work for Josh Rosen, so they moved on. So, again, and this is the question I will ask for Jared when he joins us coming up next. Like, is this? I don't think this is unique to the Tennessee Titans, and he may have more perspective about the league than I do when it comes to this sort of thing.
Okay. In regards to what? Because, listen, I think just about every smart GM or GM, the head coaches that understands and that are reading the room and reading the temperature of the room. Let me say it better like that. They know not to pump the tires too much. They know they got to keep it at an even keel because they know, they understand people only will believe you if it's validated. If it's validated, then I believe you. But until then, and Jared is right. Yeah, you saw the sunshine and the tire pumping last year with Will Levis. And what happened? Will Levis was confident. But nothing last year confirmed that confidence for him, you know? So this season you come in, and I don't think Brian Callahan or the staff has been overly, you know, overly sort of when they're talking about Cam Ward, they haven't went out there and just went out of their way to compliment him, overly complimenting Cam Ward. They're trying to be measured in what they're doing. They are confident. See, they are confident that they can get Cam Ward. Judging by all of the work they've done, meaning all of the background and the background checks and talking to coaches and talking to former, you know, players he played with at all the three universities he went to, They are looking at that and they're saying, we are confident that what we heard is going to work out for us in regards to Cam. You know, when it again, when they get in the season, they will be confirmed, but they're not pumping the tires as if, you know, he's going to be the savior. He's going to be this guy. He's going to be the next, you know, all pro, pro bowler. You know, he's Patrick Mahomes. No. They believe, they're confident in what they have as a quarterback, but they're going to allow his play and their coaching and the development to be, you know, to confirm it all.
Sean from Amsterdam,
hey,
on our text line says, Jared's take that Ward can't be confident is misguided. Confidence comes from preparation, in all caps. By the way,
exactly.
Sean, thank you for listening from Amsterdam.
Thank you.
There are so many other things you could be doing in Amsterdam right now, but you're listening,
yes,
to us. I appreciate
it. I know
that.
One of those things.
hey.
But no, he's right, man.
Smoke this every day.
He's right, but man, the confidence, it comes from preparation. It comes from knowing. That's why you have OTAs. That's why you have mini camps. That's why you have training camps. It's to build, to develop, and in that development, you're going to, as a team, that confidence is going to be built even more and more. But that's not saying that you know, the quarterback isn't coming in with confidence. If a quarterback ain't coming in with confidence, how the hell he gonna try to lead your team? I don't want a quarterback coming in and saying, man, I wish, I hope I can do this. Man, I think I can do this. I'm optimistic that I can go out there. Well, optimistic your butt back in the locker room, get your pads and go home. I'm optimistic about that, okay? No. I want you to be confident that you can do. Because why? I believe in your preparation. You know, I believe what I saw. I believe what I heard from all these people. So, Cam Ward, I'm confident in you as we continue to develop. And Cam Ward coming in, I've done this before. This is nothing new. It's a different level. It's harder. But I'm confident in what I can control. I'm confident in me throwing the football. I'm confident in me reading defense. I'm confident in me doing all of these things. What's going to happen is on Sunday, it's going to be confirmed one way or the other. Plain and simple.
One texter says, I think confidence comes from experience, so I agree with Jared. Cam can be confident in his abilities, but he can't be confident he'll be a great quarterback, NFL quarterback, but he can believe it. I think we're parsing words here.
Oh man.
We'll bring Jared into this conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025. By the way, Sean in Amsterdam, I think he is also doing the thing that people like to do in Amsterdam while listening to our program.
You're my water?
Yeah. You're my kind of guy, Sean. We'll get you an exclusive performance from Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Finkin, 1025, 1063 The Game. D. Mace, Finkin, and Donick, 1025, 1063 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Finkin here with you. Stoneman and Company coming up next. Some breaking news in the NBA. The New York Knicks are firing Tom Thibodeau after 5 seasons. The Eastern Conference Finals, not enough for Tom Thibodeau to keep his job. So for you Knicks fans out there, Tom Thibodeau out in New York. But we bring in Jared Stillman. So Jared, we were just talking about your take on Cam Ward yesterday, and I just want to make sure I have this right. So if I am misrepresenting you, please correct me.
I'm more interested, in all seriousness, in this Thibodeau thing. Derek, I mean, you're the NBA expert around here. What do we make of it?
Well, he wasn't. I mean, he has taken New York as far as he could, but that team should have been further. They didn't play well.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. That team
should have taken them further.
I'm saying he should have taken this team. He can't. That's why they fired him. He can't. That team should have went further. Considering who wasn't in the playoffs, they beat Boston. Boston wasn't in the playoffs. Milwaukee wasn't in the playoffs. I'm just talking about the Eastern Conference. The path was easier for Indianapolis. There was no way they should have got beat. Not Indianapolis, New York. There was no way they should have gotten beat the way they did against the Pacers. That first game pretty much killed them. The way they let Indiana come back after being up 20 points and then being up with 2 minutes left, like 20 points with 2 minutes, and they still end up losing that game. there's no excuse for that.
Also, so when you play your play your seven guys 35 plus minutes a game, it doesn't help out either.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, again, this goes back to that rant I had last week. Like, I'm sorry. And again, I don't follow the Knicks every day, and I'm certainly no Derek Mason when it comes to the NBA. But I'm sorry, is that Eastern Conference final for a joke franchise, which the Knicks have been for the last 20
years? No, you're right about
that.
You know, I'm not arguing that at not one
That's
bit.
Not good enough?
Well, listen, I get what you're saying, but you got to understand New York Knicks fans, too. They don't care. If they feel they got a good team, they want to go all the way. And they felt that this was the year, considering, you know, what happened with Boston and the injury that Boston had. They end up winning that series. They felt they had an easier path.
If he gets the blame for the fact that they blew that lead in game one, does he not get the credit for the two comebacks in games one and two against the defending champion Boston Celtics with a healthy Jason Tatum?
Yes, he's going to get credit for that, but they're going to dock him more for the Indiana series than credit they're going to give him for beating Boston.
That's my whole point.
Uh-huh.
That was my whole point of my rant last week, the one that Adam made, that, you know, took on this show and was like, he's not talking about the Maple Leafs. And I'm like, no, this is about everything. Like, that's what they said about Mike Mularkey when the Titans got to the divisional round of the playoffs. It was, well, he's taking them as far as he can take them. Do we know that? Like, do we really know that Tom Thibodeau, if they make some changes on the roster, again, not blow up the roster, but again, they've got something going there with Karl Anthony Towns and really Jalen Brunson, who's the star of that team. Mm-hmm. I'm not a super NBA guy. Maybe this is the one shot they have. But if you had gone into the season and you had said, hey, you're going to get to game six of the Eastern Conference final, wouldn't that be enough to keep your job? Shouldn't that be enough to keep your job?
In any place but New York. In L.A. probably. But more in this situation, New York. He's been there, what, four or 5 years?
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. So it comes a point to, and like David said, man, they got a lot of big salaries on this team. And they traded. They made some big trades in the offseason. And when you
think they were going to win the East?
After they put Boston out, and I saw that Damian Lillard got hurt in Milwaukee. Yes, I thought, did I think they were going to win it? No. But I thought they had a path now. If this is going to be the year, just like they did years ago when Jordan wasn't playing anymore. See, Knicks fans remember all of this. When Jordan wasn't playing anymore, the path was easier for them to get to win a championship. And what happened? They lost. Knicks fans remembering that. That's all.
I get that. I'm just saying, like, I think this is absurd. I think this is ridiculous.
I get it.
You know, and I'm not like the biggest Tom Thibodeau guy in the world, and I'm certainly not the biggest NBA guy in the world, but I mean, I think Tom Thibodeau, again, you're telling me that you thought the Knicks, and I'm not saying you, Derek, but I'm talking about you, the people. This goes back to my whole rant, which is, as sports fans, you get so carried away that you lose just any sense of reality when it comes to what the expectations should be and how far you got. Again, it sounds like the Knicks are too caught up in what they didn't do as opposed to recognizing what they did do. I mean, again, they got to the Final Four of the NBA. They got to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final. And that wasn't good enough? Like, that wasn't good enough. I don't get that. I do not understand that. And this has always been a sports thing for me that, hey, if Tom Thibodeau, you know, has Brunson and Towns and they make the trade for Towns and they make the, you know, the big trades and everything else, and then they go out in the first round, fine, fire him. But the Eastern Conference Final, really? And again, I don't care about the Knicks, but I'm just saying we do this too often in sports. We do this where it's like, well, he just can't get us to the top. I mean, he got you further than he's ever gotten you. Maybe we make a couple of tweaks and we keep it going. But again, I guess the Knicks, who haven't won anything, I think, in my lifetime, I guess they just know better than everybody else. So what do I know?
Let's get back to Cam Ward for a moment. That this is the point I was going to make initially. So if I have your...
Adam hates that I just ran through that.
If I have your point correct, you believe that Cam Ward should not have confidence in his ability to succeed at the NFL level because he has yet to take a meaningful snap in the NFL. Is that correct?
Should not's not the right word. He cannot have confidence. Okay. He can be optimistic. He can be positive. You know, he can think, hey, I can do this. But to truly have confidence in doing anything, it can't be manufactured. It can't be purchased. It can't be made up in your mind. I mean, the only way to really have confidence is to go out there and to do it. I mean, Derek, I'm sure before your first training camp, you probably thought you could play in the NFL and you were optimistic that you were going to have a good career. But I'm sure there was also some thought of like, hey, man, these boys are bigger and these boys are faster. And this may be kind of I want to see how I stack up. The idea that Cam Ward just has, he just has so much confidence. I mean, it's like Joe Burrow out there. Uh-huh, sure. It just sounds like words the Titans tell us. Like, they told us all those words about Will Levis last year.
Well, let me ask you this, because I could use your perspective. Is the Titans' handling of Cam Ward, in terms of how they speak about their young starting quarterback, are the Titans unique in this? Are they the only team that pumps up the tires of their young starting quarterback? It's a legitimate question.
So I can't tell you that one way or another. I can tell you this. They're saying basically all the same things that they did about Will Levis. They're saying them about Cam Ward. Now, I'll give Brian Callahan a little credit because he hasn't done his Bussin' with the Boys interview, which I'm sure he's going to do a Bussin' with the Boys interview, you know, when the break comes up. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'll be as optimistic this year as he was last year. I hope he learned from last year. Remember, that was the cut we ran all the time about, yeah, Will Levis, everything you want in a quarterback. I mean, he's a big reason why I took the job, and I just think he's been so good so far, and he's been awesome, and blah, 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 and everything else. So I say this because there's a part of me that believes that, hey, when it comes to Cam Ward and the Titans say something, and the Titan fans, yeah! I'm like, they did this with Levis last year, and we saw how that worked out. So I would temper my expectations based upon what the coach says. And if I was the coach, I'd probably keep it a little bit more generic and menial.
Well, I think Brian, he's, like you said, he's done a good job at sort of tapering it down just a tad, because you don't want to run into the same thing you ran into with Will Levis. I don't think you will, but yet and still, I get it. My thing with the confidence, Jared, is this. Now, you can believe me or not. When I walked into that building, I had confidence I could play this game. Yeah, I didn't look at anybody and say they're bigger, faster. No, I had confidence that I could play that game. It was confirmed once I got into practice. I knew it. I can do this. Cam Ward, I need my quarterback to have confidence. I need every player that comes into that locker room as a rookie to have confidence that they can play in this league. I want your play and your preparation to be to confirm what you believe as a player. I don't want anybody coming in optimistic. Optimistic is that, maybe, maybe not. No, you need to come in. Because a lot of these guys come from a place of being alpha dogs anyway. So no one that I've ran across wasn't confident. Now, I may have looked at them and said, man, you really confident? I don't think you can play. But every player walks in with that confidence. You have to. Now, your play will confirm it. Your preparation will confirm it. But I do believe that Cam Ward has the confidence that he can play in his game. When he steps on the field, come training camp, like when stuff really gets going, training camp and preseason, it will then be confirmed that confidence that I had coming in is good. I'm good. So I don't think
I talked to Will Levis at the Super Bowl 2 years ago, you know, after he had basically been anointed the next great quarterback of the Titans, mm-hmm. and Vrabel had been fired and Callahan had been hired, and I asked Levis how important that first performance against Atlanta was, given that that was his first start. And he talked about how he was like, yeah, you know, I thought I could do it, but in the back of your mind, there's always a little doubt, and that proved to me I could do it. And to me, that's where, again, confidence comes from, is having done it. You know, does success come before confidence? I think it does. Some people don't. I think the only way that you get confident is by doing, and doing in practice, and doing consistently. And so I have a hard time believing anything other than optimism or positivity, Cam Ward can't actually have that yet.
That'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Tuesday. Peace.